Say to all the fathers, and we'll look today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll take a passage of scripture today that deals with fathers, and specifically the Apostle Paul is in a portion of the letter in which he is showing himself as an example to the folks at Thessalonica, and explaining to them how that he has dealt with them, and as an example, how he's dealing with them. And he uses the illustration in this passage of the manner in which that a father deals with his children. And of course, we know that not all fathers are perfect like some of us, but no, I'm just kidding. There's not all fathers are perfect, and none of us are. And so there is a lot of ways in which, when we look at this passage and we see it, we see the ideal. We see the ideal of what as God's people that fathers ought to be, but also it just in general. It's not necessarily saying here that we're not talking about perfection here, but we're just talking about the general duty, the general responsibility, and the general blessing that fathers are to their children. And we'll think about that a little bit. And obviously, I'm going to preach that today because so that my children are going to be able to be properly, give me whatever they have prepared. But anyway, just kidding. But I'm sure Brother Armin will appreciate it as well. But we'll also hear the other side of it. The side that we're supposed to, ideally, here's what our responsibility, here's what our duty is as fathers. And so we'll be thinking about that. And just specifically, a father today. A father. What's a father? Look with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Let's read it. It says, "You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Well, let's appreciate today our fathers for their role in our lives. None are perfect, as we said, not to expect that, but generally there is a certain somewhat universal role that fathers play in the lives of their children. And we're going to consider that today and realize how important that is and realize what a blessing it is if we've had a father who has so done that. Not all of us have had, not everyone's had good fathers. Not everyone, that's clearly the case. And so we know that's a reality, and we know that this is an ideal that he's speaking about here. And as God's people, we want to just grow a little bit in our understanding here of what that father's role is. What is a father as we think about this passage? Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word, and we just pray that you'd give us clarity of thought and give us clear minds, Lord, that we might hear your spirit's still small voice in our hearts through the word of God teaching us and giving us, Lord, the instruction, encouraging us, reminding us of things that we know. And we just pray that you would bless that this reminder and that this encouragement might be just that. And we pray, Father, today that each one of us, as your people, would have an appreciation not only for the earthly fathers that we have and that we so wonderfully appreciate and that you've given us and have been so good to us. We pray also, Lord, that you'd help us to have a greater appreciation for the great love that you have for us, and we might have a greater appreciation for what you're doing in our lives as our Heavenly Father. And we'll praise you for what you do now. Encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll look at three things here in the message today, and it is these three verses. We're going to start with verse 11, we'll go to verse 12, and then we'll come back to verse 10. So starting at verse number 11, I want to think about that verse 11 is the verse that mentions here a father. And it says there in verse number 11, and you know how we exhorted, Paul saying, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And so he's speaking about the actions, and specifically the actions that he's referring to here are somewhat verbal actions. In other words, a father's, if you will, his communication. A father's communication. And we think about his communication. He says he, you know, how he exhorted and comforted and charged. Three things he mentions here, but specific communication to each one. The verse says, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. Every one of you. Now, what Paul is saying here is that in his ministry toward the Thessalonians, that he would individually, in other words, that he would specifically communicate to each one. Now, you know, as God's people, part of the responsibility that we have as the Lord's people is to encourage one another. And one of the things is to encourage one another. In other words, that in a sense, there is a responsibility we have one to another, each one of us to encourage each one. And not just to, not just a blanket encouragement and not just a blanket blessing of our love, but rather to truly individually. Paul's saying, hey, you know how I encourage every one of you, how I exhort every one of you. Each one of you. And that Paul's ministry was to each one. You know, one of the things about fathers is that there is a specific communication to each one. That there is a communication channel that's going on. There's a communication going on all the time between him and each one of his children. And that communication is vital. It's very important that there be a special communication between the father and each one of his children. He loves them all. He cares for them all. And that there is this special communication between him and each one. And what we see in that is we see the Lord. We see God in the way that he communicates with us. That he is not just communicating with each church. He's not just communicating with the kingdom in general. But he is specifically communicating with, he has a line of communication going all the time with each and every one of us. Now, that would tie everything up if we were to try to do that in our day as far as literal communication that we're having with different people, and that they have these group chats and they have group messaging and different things like that where you're actually talking to different people all at the same time and such as this, but to speak to everybody at the same time individually is what God does. But it's also the line of communication that's always there between us and the Lord, both in the area of our prayer, our communicating with him and our burden, casting our burdens upon him, and also in his communication with us, especially through the Word of God. How that he is speaking to us. He's always got something to say to us. Sometimes we miss what he has to say to us because we're not in the Word of God as much as perhaps we should be. But sometimes we have those verses that are memorized and we know what the promises of God are from the Scriptures, and we, as God's people, rely on those things and we depend on those things. And God is, he burdens us and he sometimes is encouraging us through that. And he is sometimes just the still small voice of the Holy Spirit within our heart, reminding us of certain things that are true and that we can we can depend on him, that we can lean on him, that he's good to us. He's a father that loves us dearly. And so specifically communicating to each one, the Apostle Paul mentions here that that's kind of like what a father does to his children. And we can be grateful that our father had concern specifically for us. That he had concern for our brothers and our sisters, but also that he specifically had concern for us. And that is a blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. And fathers are to see, and I need to see, and we need to sometimes reevaluate the situation that we have, that we would be communicating with each one, that there's a line, an open line of communication with each one on their level, concerning their difficulties, concerning their struggles, concerning their victories, concerning the things that they're being, how they're being blessed. And that we would have that open communication with each one, as the Lord obviously does with us. Now, in that communication, he speaks here about the kind of communication that he's talking about, that he's done. The apostle says that this is what I've done. You know how we exhorted. The word exhort is to encourage. So in other words, he's saying how we've encouraged each one of you. We've tried to encourage you. What would be the reason that someone, and that every one of them at different times, would need to be encouraged? Well, because each and every one of us go through times where that we are kind of out of it. We go through times where that we're going through a trial, we're going through a difficulty, we're struggling. And sometimes we need the encouragement that the Apostle Paul is referring to here that's needed. We know that's part of what a father does. It's part of the regular duty of a father to encourage his son, to encourage his daughter, to be an encouragement in times when things don't look so good, when things don't look so bright, yet at the same time to be able to give a word of encouragement, to be able to give a word of to lift them up a little bit. And sometimes that encouragement might literally be keeping silent. Sometimes in the book of Proverbs, over and over again, one of the things that Solomon came to see and that the Spirit of God dealt with him about was that sometimes when we're going through difficult times, the best thing for us to say is nothing. And that we can be an encouragement during those times when we're just simply weeping with those that weep. When we're simply just going through that time, as the three friends of Job were going through, as you remember, early on, when they just sat there and they sat in sackcloth and ashes and they just were there for him. And sometimes that's what we need. We just need someone to be with us, well, that's what a father does in a lot of ways. It's what a father's responsibility is, what his duty is to encourage. And another thing a father's to do is to, as the scriptures say, concerning his communication, it says here, how we exhorted and comforted you, to support, to defend in a sense. In other words, to be the one that's there as kind of a shield, as kind of a defense, as one that you can run to, one that you can come to in time of need. And so Paul says, hey, that's what a father is. He's a comforter. He's one that can be there to just, you know, we sang one of the songs about being under the wings of the Lord Jesus and all for Jesus. And we rest under his wings, and we can rejoice that in fact that our Heavenly Father has a place of consolation for us, a place of comfort for us as his people. And that's part of what he's doing. He's comforting us. Comforts us in our time of need, in our times of trouble. He has comforting words, supporting words, defending words for us as his people when we're being assaulted, when things are not going well and things are going a little haywire for us. And then thirdly, he says here, and charge. So not only does a father exhort, and in other words, encourage, and also comfort and defend and support, but also charge every one of you. He charged them. What's the word charge mean? Well, the word charge has to do more with reinforcement. It has to do with reinforcing what he's taught, what he said. And part of that fatherly duty is that fatherly duty that the Word of God talks about in Hebrews and elsewhere, where that a father, if he loves his children, that he's going to chasten them. There's going to be, so he's got to be the, in a sense, in the marriage, he's got to kind of be the bad guy. He's got to kind of be the person that has the duty of reinforcing, always out of love. Always, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes that's wrong that it's not. But it should be always out of love, as the Lord so loves us that he sometimes is going to correct us. Sometimes he's going to bring some chastening in our lives as his people. But it's always for our good. It's always just exactly what we need, where we will be able to rejoice in him, and we will be able, it will enable us as his people to be filled with the joy of the Lord. So a father's got to do that. A father sometimes has to be the bad guy. And out of love, of course, for the wife is going to do that. But also just simply out of love for the children, knowing what is best for them, is that that's part of the responsibility, part of the duty of a father. It's not only to exhort or encourage, to comfort, to support and defend, but also to charge, to reinforce the things that are being taught. And then as he says, as a father doth his children. In verse number 11. Read that again. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. If I read that verse right, and I'm reading about how this is a duty as far as his communication with each of his children, and then he says, and then it says here, as a father doth his children. What do you suppose that Paul is talking about there? I think without any doubt, Paul is talking about the motivation. He's talking about love. He's talking about concern, a real heart of real concern and love for his children, for them, for the Thessalonians. He's saying, hey, I had a love for you. I was concerned about you. So I do these things like a father does for his children. So he's speaking about the love that he has, and that as our Heavenly Father has such a love for us, he cares for us, he loves us. He loves us immeasurably. He loves us unconditionally. He cares, and it doesn't matter. It's almost like it doesn't matter what we do, where we go. He loves us. He will do what is best for us. He will encourage us. He will comfort us. He will charge us at the appropriate times, whatever the need might be. And he has that. Has all of that duty and all that response, takes upon him all that duty and responsibility. Out of love, out of the deepest and the most wonderful love that we can imagine. A father's communication, he speaks about here. In verse number 12, we see the father's ultimate goal. A father's ultimate goal. So a father's communication. Secondly, a father's ultimate goal in verse number 12. So what is it doing this for? Paul says, well, I've done this. I have exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his glory and kingdom. In other words, the father's ultimate goal is a walk. It's a walk. When I say a walk, the children's walk. A life that's lived right. Not that's just says the right words. He's not speaking here about words, not mere words, that you should walk worthy of God, not just talk worthy of God, and not just have a show of being worthy of God, but that you'd walk worthy of God. So in other words, the dad said, oh, you told me that last week, you know, but you didn't do it. So, you know, when are you going to do it? When are you going to carry this out? When are you going to accomplish what it is that you said you were going to do? And so there's certain times that the father is encouraging, but his ultimate goal is a walk. And, you know, it's like, It's like you see all these things. You see the words come and fly, and it says, they're just words. You know, hey, son, hey, daughter. You know, you say the right words. You say the right things. But sometimes it's needful that there's somewhat, if you will, there's the desire, and there's the clearly the ultimate goal. A father's ultimate goal is not mere word, is not just words, but rather a walk. He says that you would walk worthy of God, as it would please God. Paul is saying, hey, I've done what I've done so that what you do is going to be pleasing to God. Now, Paul is extending his ministry, and he's saying, you know what? My ministry, that's really what it's all about. You know, I don't care if you follow me. It doesn't matter. That's not what matters. What matters is that you're pleasing to God, is that you do what God would have you to do. I mean, I might give you directions that are not going to be the best direction. I might say, you know, here's what I would do. And I'm literally just telling you what I would do, and it might not be the best for you. But what I'm going to tell you is that I want you following, as Paul is saying, I want you to follow the Lord. I want what is best for you. And a father is concerned about truly what is best for his son or daughter. He's concerned about that. He cares about what's best for them. And it's bigger than him. It's bigger than just what he might lead them to do. You know, you could create a whole lot of clones, but that's not good. That's not the best. What is best is for a father to see, for us to see and recognize that, you know, God has got a plan in everybody's life. And as he has a plan in everybody's life, then that has, there's a certain latitude that as God's people, even in the ministry, as Paul is talking about, there's a certain latitude where that you see that God's people have got different gifts. They're gifted in different ways. We've seen that in 1 Peter. How they're gifted in different ways, and God would have us to have an understanding that, you know what, they don't have to be just like me. They don't have to be just like me. They don't have to do what I did. They don't have to have their plan of the plan in their life is God's. It's not mine. And so recognizing that and seeing that it's a matter of being worthy of God as it would please God. What is God's will? What is God's plan? And that plan could be, it could be anything. God might have a plan for different people based upon their experiences, based upon their education, based upon just their know-how, based upon their ability, based upon their skill level, based upon all kinds of things that cause that the Lord would lead them a lot differently than he might lead us. And so we see that, we see that's part of a father's ultimate goal is a walk worthy of God. And then he says here, who hath called you? He says in verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, what's he saying when he says to the Thessalonians, this is the one, you know, you need to walk worthy of God. And I want you to walk worthy of God. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to encourage you to walk worthy of God, who's called you unto his kingdom and glory. He's speaking about the tremendous, the bountiful blessing and riches that we have already given to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's speaking about all the treasure that we have laid up for us beyond the blue, beyond where we're at right now. That we have a wonderful treasure, and that we even now have the glorious treasure of knowing that we're right with God, that we're right in his sight, and that we don't, as God's people, that we're not going to pay for our sins, that our sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we're right with God. The treasure, the wonder, the glory, the eternal, the everlasting glory that we have with the Lord, that he's made us his, that he's set us apart, that he is gonna treasure us forever. He is going to bless us forever. We're going to be in his presence one of these days. And so what is Paul saying here when he says that you'd walk worthy of God who hath called you? He's saying, do it out of gratitude for what the Lord's done for you. What you do, that walk that you might walk that's pleasing to the Lord, do it out of gratitude for the one that loved you. We don't believe in, as those who hold the positions, the teachings, the theology that we hold here, we don't believe in somehow climbing some ladder to get to heaven. We don't believe in somehow getting better and better so that the Lord will accept us. And that we don't believe in doing and walking and living a life that's pleasing to the Lord so that maybe the Lord will tip his hat to us and somehow will say, yeah, okay, you've done okay, so I'm going to accept you into the kingdom. I'm going to accept you into heaven. No, we believe that salvation is by grace. It's by God's unmerited, unearned favor toward us that's already been given. And we've simply trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've repented, turned from our sin, and turned from all other ways as the way of salvation to Jesus Christ as the only way that we can be right with God. And as we've done so, then we see he's the one that's called us. He's called us. He's made us his own. And as such, as God's people, we just want to do what we do out of adoration, out of appreciation, out of gratitude for all that the Lord has already done for us. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because of the wonderful, the glorious way he has blessed us and that we have what we have, everlasting life, eternal in the heavens with the Lord, an eternal existence with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we're so grateful for. So he's saying, hey, we want you to be grateful. We want you to have gratitude for what you've been given. And the Father's, part of a father's responsibility is to show to his children some good values, some values that say, well, you know what? This is good. The Lord's been good to me. God's been good to me. God's given me a lot. And as such, I need to appreciate what I have been given. And the Father helps us do that. And then, so we looked at a father's communication, a father's ultimate goal. Let's go back to verse 10. And you see a father's communication in verse number 11. That is what he does in terms of what he says to his children, the way he communicates with his children. But you know, that communication is totally vain and empty if it is not preceded by what is spoken of in verse number 10. And verse 10 shows us an example, a role model, an example. Verse 10, the apostle says, ye are witnesses, you've witnessed this, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. He says, and then he goes on to say, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged everyone. Okay, we're able to speak to you, to exhort you, to comfort you and to charge you in an effective way. Why? Because you've seen us. You've seen how we walked. You've seen our example. You've seen your witnesses and God also, how that we've lived in a way that the scripture, first of all, says, so it's not a mere word thing. It isn't, you know, do what I say, not what I do. A father that says, do what I say, not what I do, is not being a father. Is not being a father. But a father that says, here's how I walk. Look at the example. And here's the example. And humbly says, and humbly seeks to walk right before God, how you're witnesses of this, you've looked at this, and there's not a more important role that a father has than to be a role model for his children, than to be a role model, to actually be one that's an example, setting the example for his children. We'll get back to that in a moment. But first of all, he says, your witnesses and God also, how holily. So God sees it, and you see it, because he's living both before God as the world is before men. How holily. What does that mean?
Well, holy, the word holy is a word, and there's a word that, a Greek word that is translated off a lot of different ways. The root word is translated off a lot of different ways, and there's variations of the word that have to do with sanctification, that have to do with setting apart, being set apart. And so he's saying, hey, you know, God has set us apart, being set apart by God. How holily. So holiness has to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with that vertical relationship that we have as God's people with God. And that's part of the responsibility we have as all of God's people, is we have a responsibility to God. To be holy. Be holy for I am holy, he says. To be holy, to be sanctified, to be set apart to God, to have God on the throne in our life, and truly have him as being the one that we concern ourselves with, that we please him. But then also he says, how justly. Not only how holily, but how justly. So holiness has to do with our relation to God and our walk as it pertains to our walk with God, being an example in walking with God. But then also justly. Justly has to do with the way we treat others. So it's our treatment of others. So others are seeing it. He says, you've witnessed how holily and justly how we've dealt with. One word, I don't like the word necessarily, but fairly. How we've dealt with in fairness, okay? And it's good and it's proper use, but fairness. A lot of times fairness is kind of overused today. But how holy, how justly before others, we're dealing with each one in a fair manner, in a right manner, in a way that's not, you know, beating up on some and not on others. And unblameably, what's unblameably? That other people, you know, you care about what other people see in you. You're selfless. Unblameableness is selflessness. In other words, you don't just do it just because you feel like you want to do it, but you do it, you're careful. Your heart is, you're concerned about what others might think, about what others might, how they might view you. Paul is saying, hey, I was concerned about that. I was seeking to make sure that I'm unblameable. It might not have been wrong for me to do certain thing that might have been fine for me to do that I wanted to do, but you know what? I put that aside because I didn't want to be blamed for something that wasn't necessarily going to even amount to much, but just want to make sure that my testimony was all it ought to be. And so he just says that, you know, I wanted to be unblameable. I wanted to make sure that that what was done was selfless. And so, you know, what's all this talking about? Well, it's talking about a kind of a walk that the Apostle Paul had, an example he was setting, so that he would be able to be an encouragement, so that he would be able to be a comfort, so that he would be able to enforce what he was teaching. And so he says, hey, that's what being a father is about. And he says, next word that's used here, he says, you know how we exhorted and comforted, verse number 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. What's mom always used to say? You know, behave yourself. Just behave yourself. Behave yourself, you know. That's something that you don't outgrow that. You never do. You just behave yourself. I remember Sister Rosie telling Donna that. You know, behave yourself. Or Brother Armin telling Donna that. Behave yourself. And Donna telling Brother Armin that. Behave yourself. And us, you know, and we tell our children that. And our children sometimes tell us that. And Allison's told me that. So just behave yourself. You need to behave yourself. Well, behave ourselves. What is that about? Well, it's just about setting a good example. It's about doing the right thing, but it's also about being the proper example. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I was just, you know how we behaved ourselves.
You know how that it was something we were concerned about what others were thinking. We were concerned about how that we might be able to minister to other people, might be able to be beneficial to other people, and that this could be a stumbling block. That something we might have done might have become a stumbling block and might have been something that we never would have even intended, that we wouldn't have ever wanted it to happen. But at the same time, it could happen. And we think about those things. It's good to be thoughtful. It's good to think. It's good to be caring about what other people feel. It's good to be caring about what other people think. And that's what a father is supposed to be doing. That's part of his responsibility, is to be caring enough about what other people think, that we're behaving, that we want to be the example, we want to be the role model that we ought to be. So, what does that all say? What's all this about? What's it all say? Well, first of all, we'll get the fathers out of the way first. If we're fathers, how do I want my children to act given the same trials and influences and blessings and opportunities that I'm faced with? How do I want my children to act whenever I'm going through all the different difficulties, the things that God has providentially put in my life right now? How do I want my children to act if they were put in exactly the same condition, same circumstances? How do I want them to act? Because really, if I don't care about that, then I'm not going to do what the apostle is talking about that he was doing. If I'm not concerned about that, then I'm not going to be one who's caring enough. I'm not going to be one who is fatherly as I should be, as I need to be. And so for fathers, how do I want, whatever the circumstances are, if I'm going through tremendous blessings from God, how do I want my children to see how I handle those things, how those things are, and how do I want them to act if they were in the same circumstances? How do I want them to act if I'm going through a very hard trial right now? How do I want them to act if God put them in the exact same trial? How do I want them to live? How do I want them to be? How do I want them to accept what they're going through? I need to consider that if I'm a father. I need to consider those things and consider whether or not what it is, no matter what the circumstances that I'm being put through, that God is in control. And that I have this testimony that, in fact, I'm grateful for what God is doing in my life. That I'm grateful for what he's accomplishing in my life. And that's not just fathers. That's all of us. To be an example to others is not just a fatherly thing. It's a thing that every one of us have a duty to be. We're to be examples one to another. The scripture says it several times. And as examples one to another, I've got to consider what I'm going through. If someone else was put in the exact same position, can I be an encouragement to them so that when they go through the same thing, if they ever go through the same thing, that they'll know how to handle it? That they'll understand how to handle it. They'll understand what it is. You know, and it might be something wonderful and it might be something terrible. On either side of the spectrum, God is still in control, right? He's in control either way. And so, whatever it might be, that I might consider that, think about, what if they were put in the same scenario, how would I want them to respond to it? And I think in every case, we would say, I want them to respond to it in such a way as that God is going to be pleased, that God is going to be honored in it. And so then to children. So that's the fathers. We got that out of the way. So we can forget about that one. Children, is my life being lived worthy of imperfect, as it may be, of my father's? Is my life, in a sense, and I think of this as a child myself, and I've got a dad that I'm going to be calling later on today, and I think about the fact that,
he's done a lot, and he has sacrificed a lot, and he's been a good example. And as imperfect as he may be, which every child can criticize their parents better than anyone in the whole world. No question about it. We can do that. We can criticize our parents better than anybody in the whole world can, because we know them better. We've seen everything that they do, and we know they're not perfect. But at the same time, is my life being lived worthy of the example, and the communication, and the objective, and the love for me? You know, a father has a love. It may be very imperfect, but in a sense, a love that, do I appreciate, have I appreciated the love? Do I show forth, is my life being lived where saying Happy Father's Day might actually mean something to us? Where that when I say Happy Father's Day to my dad this afternoon or this evening, that maybe it would mean something because it's actually something that has, I'm showing some appreciation that's real, that I really do appreciate what that my dad's done for me. And as God's people, our Heavenly Father, we're all His children, right? We're the children, as the Lord's people, we're the children of our Heavenly Father. And as His children, we appreciate what He's done for us. He's the perfect one. He's the Father of all fathers. And He has done so much for us, and sometimes we don't show the appreciation that we should have as His children, His dear children. Not everyone has had a good father. Paul is using this example from what should be, and we can learn from it. But also, we all, as believers, have been adopted. We've been adopted into an amazing family, into a family of God's people, a family of God, and no better condition of children has ever been provided among men. No better position. There's nobody that's ever been the father that our Lord is unto us. And as His people, may we, if we honor our fathers, which we should, may we also honor our Heavenly Father and give to Him the gratitude and the thanksgiving and the desire and the purpose to walk in His ways as He would have us to. So stop right there today and looking at this passage, it talks about a father and how a father actually acts and how good that is for us as the Lord's people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Christ Jesus, who bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And he took upon Himself, Lord, that shame that belonged only to us and didn't belong to Him. We're grateful, Lord, that in the very act of His submission to the Heavenly Father, in the very act of His suffering, and His suffering on the cross, even unto death, that we have been adopted into Your family as children of God. And we thank You, Lord, for that glorious work that's been wrought in us by faith in Christ Jesus. And we just rejoice that we can stand here today and can know that we have a Father above all fathers, and that we can, Lord, follow You. And we pray that You might help us and give us desire. Help us to trust You more. Help us to depend on You. Help us to lean on You. Help us to listen to the words, because Your actions are clearly faithfulness to us. And we just honor You today. Strengthen us and give us glory. Give us grace to serve You. But Lord, also we pray, Lord, for each one of us here, that we might show the appreciation that we should for those in this life, Lord, who have fathered us and have been good to us. And Lord, we just rejoice where that and honor those to whom honor is due. And Your will be done in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.